The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
It is hour number two of the Starting Lineup, 99.1 The Sports Animal. Will Weston and Eric Kane here with you. We'll be on tomorrow. I know a lot of you are off tomorrow, but if you are heading into work, we will be on the air 6 to 9 a.m. So we'll be here for you if you would like to hear us talk about literally nothing of importance right now, because that's what we do better than anyone else. It's right here on the Starting Lineup. Is talk about things that really don't matter. Something that does matter, and it came down last night. I think that we all thought that when, most of us paying attention around the state thought this was eventually coming. I did not expect it to happen as quickly as it did. I did not expect there to be a misdemeanor fine, or on the back end of it, but or tied to doing it. But the mask mandate passed in Knox County last night. So it was the Board of Health that made that call. 7-1, they voted to have the mask mandate in place. When you look at it, I'm sure you guys have probably seen the number so far. The places that don't have a mask mandate in the last 2 weeks, the COVID-19 numbers have gone up 85%. Places that do have a mask mandate, they've dropped 25%. So there seems to be science behind doing this. I guess it goes into effect at midnight tonight. Eric Kane, your first thought when you saw that the mask mandate was made?
Yeah, I saw it, and I knew that a lot of people would not be happy about it. I knew that there would be a lot of angry people on social media and around town and all that. But I mean, I immediately thought, I was like, this is not the end of the world. This is just me, and we're all entitled to our own opinions. To me, this is not a big deal. Is it a little inconvenient? Absolutely, it's a little inconvenient. It is not comfortable to wear a mask out in public. I have not worn a mask out in public the majority of this time, and that's for you to decide if that's right or wrong. It is whatever, but that's just not what I've done. And I'm going to start doing it now because that's what they're telling us we need to be doing. And so I'm going to do it. It's not going to hurt me at all. And I mean, potentially it's the safest thing to do right now. So it's not the end of the world, little inconvenient, but it beats being shut down again for those, 3 weeks like we were back in March.
Yeah, it seems like, frankly, I wish this would have happened probably the last time. But let's be honest, none of us knew. None of us knew what this was going to look like, right? So it would have been cooler if we had this in place. And I'll be real. I don't like wearing the mask. It's not fun. It's not like something you're trying to do. I don't, it would be cooler if you, when you're sitting in your car, you didn't have to wear a seatbelt, but we understand it saves lives, so we do it. And I kind of look at the mask the same way. Again, I don't love it. I guess that there are, if you have a medical exemption, then you have a medical exemption. If you have a medical reason for you not to be able to wear the mask, if you have, while you're eating and drinking, you would not have to wear the mask. It's indoors in public places, so you would have to do it at public parks or anything like that that's outdoors that this is set into place. Again, I didn't see them doing this as quickly as they did, but maybe it ends up helping us that they're doing it as quickly. I guess yesterday was 40 cases that we added yesterday, I think was the number. So we're seeing spikes. Yesterday was the second biggest day as far as new cases of COVID-19 in the U.S., so it is what it is. I mean, I think the biggest day was earlier this week. So I will say this. I keep seeing people say this is unconstitutional. Now, there's a difference between, to me, whether you think this should be a mandate or you think this should just be a guidance, and it's unconstitutional. I just can't find anyone that actually works in constitutional law that says it's unconstitutional. The one thing that we keep seeing over and over again, there was a 1905 case where somebody said that they didn't want to have to get a smallpox vaccination, and they sued the state of Virginia. State of Virginia won. They went to the Supreme Court. The state of Virginia won because it's a public health issue. I don't know. I don't look at this any different than a seatbelt. So, like, I know the sheriff has said that the Knox County Sheriff's Department is not going to enforce this because it's unconstitutional. Again, I can't find anybody who does this for a living that says that this is unconstitutional. And I guess I would ask the question, if seatbelt laws can be enforced, if laws that you, and I guess maybe it comes down to handing out a misdemeanor fine to somebody, or a misdemeanor, possibly even jail time or something like that. Maybe it comes down to that was what would make it unconstitutional. But if you can charge a fine to somebody for not wearing a seatbelt while they're driving, how can you not charge them a fine if they're trying to get into the grocery store and they don't have the mask on? And again, I'm not saying you got to agree with the mask. I'm talking specifically about the nuts and bolts of the constitutionality of it. I don't know how this would be any less constitutional than a seatbelt would. So I guess I don't understand the argument there, and maybe somebody who's smarter than me can explain that portion to me. Well, this is the way that it's going to be, and for the most part, there's a reason why. I will tell you, I had a lot of people in my mentions because right when it happened, I was kind of following along on Twitter for the Board of Health meeting. Right when it was breaking that it was happening, I retweeted it, and there were a lot of people in my mentions that were like, we should all wear masks. Yes, we should wear masks, but it's wrong to make it a mandate. I completely understand that point of view. I don't know that I have a strong opinion about it one way or the other, but I completely understand that point of view. I guess what I'm not getting is people who are saying that this is unconstitutional. We've already crossed that threshold in my mind when we start talking about the things that individual liberties, quotation fingers, that the government can't enforce you to do. Like, you can't walk around butt naked in public, right? You can't drive your car without wearing a seatbelt. We've already crossed that threshold in my mind. So wearing a mask to me is just kind of an extension of that, more so than it is, you know what I mean? I guess what people are trying to make it to be, which is they're forcing them to do it. Let's just be very real. Here's what happened here. The Dr. Fauci and the medical community, the CDC very specifically, early on when it came to the mask thing and early on when it came to COVID-19, and they've even come back and said this, we didn't have enough masks, or we're afraid there weren't enough masks for the medical community, so we've told people you don't have to wear masks. So now their credibility to some extent is shot for a lot of people when it comes to now telling people that you need to wear a mask. I look at it as sometimes when somebody's telling me they lied to me, I'll buy it, that, okay, you were lying. And they were lying. And so now now we're in a situation where, because they lied about it earlier, there's a credibility issue. I completely understand that. At the end of the day, I'm going to wear the mask. I don't like it, but it's better than not being able to go to the gym anymore. So, if it helps keep people's businesses open and small businesses in East Tennessee don't close because I wear a mask, I'll do it. I don't love it, but I wear it when I go to the grocery store and the convenience store right now anyway. So just exactly for that reason. It's a lot better than having people's businesses shut down and people being laid off from work and things like that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's an undisclosed time of how long this will be going on. So say we put the mask on, we wear it for 2 or 3 weeks, and then boom, we could get back to, you know, hopefully if the numbers improve, we can get back to not having to do it. But I mean, at the end of the day, we as a society get mad over just literally everything nowadays. And it just, I mean, it baffles me some of the things that people get really, really worked up about. And again, it's inconvenient, but it's not hurting anyone. It's literally not going to hurt anyone at all. So when you go to the store, put a mask on. When you go into a place of business, put a mask on. It's nothing in the world. When you're back in your home office, when you're back in your car, when you're on your own time, then take the mask off. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, quite frankly, in my opinion, there's really not that many places where you're really going to have to be exposed to that mask, because most people right now are working from home. And when you're on your own time, you don't have to wear it. So it's not the end of the world. It's not hurting anybody. I think that we should just do it and move on.
Yeah, it's again, that's that kind of the, I'm not going to think too much about this. I don't understand the argument of the lie that this is unconstitutional. Just based on what I've read, I don't understand what, I don't, again, I just don't get the argument that it's unconstitutional. Now, if you're saying that it shouldn't be, that you shouldn't have a misdemeanor attached to it, that's a fair question. It's a fair point of view, whether I agree with it or not. But it is what it is. I don't know. It's not that hard for me to, I don't overthink this. It's not that hard for me to put a mask on when I go inside the grocery store or if I go shopping for something else. Do I like it? No. Do I have to like everything that happens in the world? No. And the unfortunate parts, I don't know, I guess we live in a society. There was a punk band called the Dead Kennedys back in the 70s and 80s that had an album called Give Me Convenience or Give Me Death, and it just talked about everybody thought that their conveniences were their civil liberties, and that was, you know, 40-plus years ago that album came out. We're a little bit in that space right now. And look, I don't want to wear the mask anymore than everybody else does, but if it keeps the gym open and keeps people's businesses from having to close down and the economy from being shuttered, it's better than the alternative.
So before this announcement was made last night, Sam Foreman dropped some knowledge on me when I was leaving the studio yesterday. He said that Ms. Foreman was sewing him a mask, a Denver Broncos mask, and so she went ahead and made John Wilkerson one.
Oh, and that's awesome.
I think she was making Sam's brother a Braves mask, so she made me one.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's
look
awesome.
At that.
So, I mean, I was pumped about that to begin with, and then this comes out later that night, and I'm like, man, it's just all working out right now. So if I have to wear a mask, I'm going to look fresh in my Atlanta Braves mask, thanks to Ms. Foreman.
So I will tell you, the one place that really, 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 really sucks is the gym. That's the one place that it sucks. The rest of it, I can kind of live with, but that's the one place that, man, that sucks a lot. But it's better than not being able to go to the gym. So you do what you got
to
do.
See, I like to breathe all the time. I especially like to breathe when I'm doing any type of cardio or basketball activity.
When you're huffing and puffing, it's tough to have a mask on, especially a cloth mask. So I went, as soon as this happened, I literally jumped in the car and ran down to my local pharmacy here and picked up a 50-pack of those disposables, because those disposable masks are a lot easier to use and breathe through when you're at the gym than the cloth masks are.
Yep.
So it's cloth mask everywhere else, disposable mask for the gym only. We'll come back on the other side. High school football, it looks like, instead of a plan in place, they picked one of the three plans we talked about yesterday, and now they've laid out three more plans that fall under that umbrella. We'll talk about it next. It's the Starting Lineup, 99.1 The Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Jeremy Pruitt said there's still no football players who have tested positive for COVID-19 during the voluntary in-person workouts. Appearing on the Dan Patrick Show Wednesday morning, Pruitt said players will have the weekend off for the 4th of July and will be tested upon arriving back to campus following the weekend. Tennessee Athletics is transitioning to mobile ticketing for all ticket options across ticketing sports in 2020-2021. Mobile ticketing will be available for football, volleyball, basketball, baseball, and softball, and the contactless entry option is considered healthier and could cut down on stolen or counterfeit tickets. The NBA is expected to lose around $150 million for its Orlando bubble plan for the resumption of the season. The cost stems from housing of all 22 teams, plus sporting staff, daily screenings and COVID-19 testing, meals, security, transportation, and the reservation of practice courts and arenas for play. And for the first time in nearly a century, 95 years to be exact, Mexico has canceled its professional baseball season due to coronavirus. The summer season was scheduled to begin on August the 7th. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education in Tennessee. 716, we're going to check the roads with Pete Michaels. Traffic, good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
From selling hot dogs in Neyland Stadium as a kid to living on a roof, he's all ball. Tyler Ivins in the Starting Lineup on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
I do want to make something clear, I guess, that I did not. The health department, the Board of Health yesterday said the idea is not to charge anybody with any with a crime for not doing it. If somebody's seen not with a mask on, then the idea is dead. Officers would give a mask to them and tell them to put the mask on. I guess where you see the possibility of it being a misdemeanor is when you see, like, did you see that video in Walmart, Kane, where the old guy tries to plow through the person at the front of Walmart that says, hey, it was in a state where you have to have it to walk in.
Yep.
And the business, and how they did it there was the business could end up being in trouble if they allowed the customers in. This person at Walmart just says, hey, you got to wear a mask, you can come in. The guy tries to plow through them and knock the person down.
Here's the thing. If I'm getting paid, you know, 10, 11 bucks an hour, I'm not going to let anybody try to assault me like that. I'd be like, you know what, bro? Get on in there.
Would you really? I would just beat them down. I'm gonna be very real. Like, well, I'm a Christian. I would have to repent after. But if somebody just tries to plow through me over not wearing a mask, I would toss them a beating. That's what I would do.
I think that would be my mindset going in. But if anyone starts pushing, then that competitive nature and that, you know, the being a guy factor comes into play, and then, you know, you might have to have another type of conversation. But
somebody attacks you, you got to defend yourself. You know what I mean? That's just kind of
point being. I guess I would look at my business and be like, okay, no, I'm not doing that. That's how I should have said it. Well, you can leave, sir. Well, okay, I'll go make $10 an hour somewhere else.
I'm assuming that's why there's the misdemeanor situation that's on the books there, that you can be charged with this. Because, and let's be honest, man, we're going to see it because people are stupid. And people are insane. And so, I mean, do you have a Facebook page? Of course people are nuts. So you're going to see it somewhere around town somewhere where somebody says, hey, why aren't you wearing a mask? And it ends up being a volatile situation. I would just say, for those of us who are larger, let's just try to make sure that if somebody gets physical with somebody else, that we don't just put it on World Star, that we make sure we yank them off of that person. If you've got an opportunity. 656-9900 is your phone number. All right, Eric, you've been on this a lot longer than I even thought we should have been on this, and you were right and I was wrong. The latest for the TSSAA on what they're going to do with the high school football season. We laid out the three plans yesterday that were on the table. They've chosen from one of those three plans, but now offer three more plans. Can you give the listeners an explanation?
All right, so essentially, first and foremost, they're still, the TSSAA is still asking the governor's office to include the organization in the same realm as college and pro sports teams in the state, which would allow them to start on time, have contact practices. The governor's office will be working with the TSSAA office to try to have all these sporting events starting on time. They'll run up the ladder, but that's remains to be seen. But for right now, say the everything is going to stay the same the way it is right now. There are three options that were kind of presented for the organization yesterday, and it's going to be tossed around and discussed, and they're going to try to have a final resolution come July the 8th. This is high school football. Every practice in all three of the options, practices would begin August the 30th. The season would begin September the 18th. Option number one would be a seven-game regular season. The playoffs would start on time. But the big caveat here would be each school would have to scrap its schedule, as the TSSAA would have to set region schedules for every single school. Teams who did not make the playoffs and have the opportunity to play two extra games. That's option number one. Option number two, which is the one that's probably the most popular right now, would be an eight-game regular season, a 16-team playoff bracket where only region champs and the runners-up qualify for the playoffs. In this scenario, essentially you would cut out the first week of the playoffs, and teams who didn't make the playoffs would have the opportunity to schedule two extra games. Again, trying to get onto a 9-10 game schedule no matter what for even the teams that don't make the playoffs. Option number three would be a nine-game regular season, an 18 playoff bracket where only the regional champs qualify for the playoffs. You would cut the first 2 weeks out of the playoffs and really only have three rounds, quarterfinals, semifinals, and championships. Schools would be able to keep their current schedule. So those are kind of the three options right now. I like the detail that's been given, the thoughts that's been given to all the options to try to make the best out of a worst-case scenario. Even the teams that don't qualify for the playoffs will still have the opportunity to schedule two more games at the back end in order to let those seniors play 10 games in a regular season. I mean, that's really, really cool, because most of these seniors will not ever play football again. So I thought that was really, really cool. But when you kind of look at it and analyze it even more, option two, in my opinion, looks like it's the best way to go. It's an eight-game regular season, a playoff format to where you're just cutting out the first week and you're kind of rolling on that way. I think that would be the best way to go if I was the person and making this decision.
Yeah, so the eight-game regular season with a four-game playoff probably is the best way to go. I know they were banting about the possibility of having if you don't make the playoffs but you have eight games, that you could schedule one more game to get in. Did they decide that? Did they settle on that being a possibility?
Meaning, you
like
could
almost like a bowl game that you could schedule. I know they were talking about that yesterday.
To get into the playoffs or just
no, bowl? If you miss the playoffs, they would allow you to schedule one like bowl game or one.
No.
Game.
Okay, so that was an idea kind of being tossed around before this meeting even began.
Okay.
The whole bowl game was not in the conversation yesterday. Simply put, under all three of these options, if you were to miss out on the playoffs, you would have a chance to schedule up to one to two more games to try to fill out, you know, like option two has eight games. If you miss on the playoffs, you could schedule two more games in order to have 10 total games. Option one has seven games. You'll have the chance to schedule two more games to have nine total games. So it's not really a bowl game, but it's just trying to finish out what should be a 10-game regular season.
That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. Quick note for you. Girls soccer, I guess what the guidance was yesterday is to push the season back and extend the season longer and have the state championship later, but try to get the entire season in. So that's what they were trying to do there. The other sports that are fall sports, golf, cross country,
volleyball,
which is weird to me. The volleyball would be considered more so those as opposed to, but I guess you're around your teammates, and if you're practicing, it's your teammates you're around, because you are in closed quarters in volleyball, but I guess you're around your teammates and you're already around them for practice and workouts and things like that. So,
and I don't know,
being into contact with somebody else.
True. When you're on the front line, I mean, you get up there and get kind of personal.
Yeah, that little net's probably not gonna stop any aerosol.
And seriously, anybody that's, you know, familiar with the game of volleyball, covered it, attended it, whatever. I've covered and done a bunch of volleyball games in the past. The team will come together in like a little huddle and huddle up in between each and every point. And so I can guarantee you in volleyball moving forward, at least for this season, that will not be a thing, because that is that is close in proximity with your teammates. But
close you can possibly get, right?
Yeah, exactly. And one more note again, they're going to meet again July the 8th, which was a week from yesterday. So they're going to try to have a final resolution on July the 8th. Again, this is all if the governor's office does not give an extension to the TSSAA in order to act as though college athletes and professional athletes in the state are right now.
That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. Five Burning Questions is next, starting lineup on the Sports Animal.
Hey, this is VFL Joshua Dobbs, and we're counting it down. It's just
65 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
Of 99.1, the Sports Animal. Will West, Eric Kane here with you. It is about 7:31 today. I think we're not getting rain for the first time in quite a while. You live on the south side, Kane. I saw that the emergency broadcast thing came on yesterday. They're in the middle of me watching wrestling.
Twice.
Twice.
I was trying to watch my Big Bang Theory, you know, when I was doing my work for the morning show, and got interrupted twice in the span of like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it looks like we all fogged this morning, but then it's going to be about 87 degrees later on this afternoon, hot and sunny. Be good for my tomatoes, which I'm trying to get finished up. We got a little garden full of tomatoes out there, Kaner. Cucumbers are coming in nicely, but the tomatoes, they're there. They haven't ripened up a little bit, so hopefully some of this sun after all this rain will help those bad boys. I've gotten three tomatoes so far. That's how many I've gotten, but we've got a... We've got plants full of them, so as soon as they ripen up, we'll make sure that we get some homegrown tomatoes out to Eric Kane so he can get it done Jefferson County style with little homegrown tomato sandwiches. 656-9900 is your phone number. Will West, Eric Kane here with you. It is after 7:30 in the morning, and you know what that means. Time for five burning questions.
Head-to-head, toe-to-toe, mono-a-mono. It's time for five burning questions. Brought to you by Life Safety Inspections, saving lives one extinguisher at a time. It's not just a motto, it's how we do business.
All right, Will, are you good with the mask mandate in Knox County?
I mean, I don't love it. I don't want to have to wear the mask, but I mean, it just seems like there's tons and tons of data that this is beneficial, so I'll wear the mask. So yeah, I guess I'm good with it. It's fine. It's not the end of the world. So I'm like, is it what we're trying to do? Did I wake up this morning being like, can't wait to put this mask on? No, I did not. But I'll wear the mask. It's fine.
It is uncomfortable. It is not stylish. It is very much a nuisance. But is it hurting anyone? No. Is it protecting yourself? Yes. Is it the end of the world? Absolutely not. I'm not for it. I'm not going to get worked up over it. It is what it is. I'm going to do what they say. I'm going to go and wear the mask when I'm out in public. And then when I get back in my car, when I get back home, I'm going to take it off. It is what it is. And so it's not the end of the world. We have much greater things going on right now that we need to worry about other than this. That's just my opinion. On this day in 1997, Men in Black was released. What's your favorite sports conspiracy theory?
Frozen envelope. I love the frozen envelope conspiracy theory that in, was it the 85 draft or the 86 draft, maybe is what it was, when Patrick Ewing went to the Knicks, that when David Stern reached his hand into the envelopes to pick out the ones when he did the draft lottery. Back in the day, it was you literally picked an envelope out of like a thing that spins the envelopes around and it had a different team's name in it. There was an envelope that was frozen that had the Knicks name, and he knew which envelope to get. Stern's done some weird things in the past that make you think this is at least somewhat plausible. I'll go frozen envelope.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'll stay in the NBA, and the one that's kind of been brought to light a lot the last couple of weeks because of The Last Dance, the Jordan flu game. Did he have the flu? Was it food poisoning, or was he hungover? The world may never know.
I'd never know he was hungover.
So that's, I mean, anyone that still thinks that he had the flu for that game is kidding themselves. Well,
but anybody that thinks that he actually had food poisoning, though, now that we know that the guy who brought the thing to him, one, there weren't multiple people there, two, the guy who brought the pizza to him and made the pizza was a Bulls fan. So
why would he poison Michael Jordan the day before? Game five?
Yes, and he still is a Bulls fan.
Jeez. After that, I don't know if I'd be a Bulls fan or not. Are running backs in the NFL underpaid?
Yeah, they are. They absolutely are. But the unfortunate part is you should underpay them. because you can go get another guy that can do it. What we do right now is if a guy's big enough, he's a good enough athlete, we make him a running back. We probably should make more of those guys linebackers. And if you're a player that is a running back, you probably should be a linebacker, not a running back, if you have the opportunity, one way or the other. But yes, running backs are absolutely positively underpaid.
Man, they do so much for an offense, and I think they're undervalued so much. I mean, if I'm coming up in football right now, and I'm a great athlete and I am a Division I prospect, I don't want to play running back at all, because I know that if I am able to make it to the apex of my game, I'm not going to be compensated the way I deserve. So yes, running backs are underpaid, but I'm with you. It's so tough to just throw money at running backs because there's so few and far between in terms of greatness. You can get pretty much anybody's scrap heap. You get running back by committee. I mean, unless your name's Derrick Henry, unless your name is Elliott,
yeah.
Barkley, I mean, there's just not a lot of just go-getters out there in the NFL right now. But again, those names will be phased over in 2 more years, and there'll be another one that gets up in there, and that's just kind of how the position goes. So
yeah, and here's the thing, too. From 27, it used to be at 30 running backs are done. Now it's at 28. You know what I mean? A lot of times that they're done. But there are other guys that will play into their 30s. I look at it this way. I'm a Giants fan. I don't know if I'll love if they give Saquon a huge contract after this. And he's great. And he's exactly what you want out of a teammate. There's also this problem. I think there's a mileage limit more so than an age limit on a running back's legs. And from the time that kid's in middle school and then high school and then college, they're going to run his legs off.
Yep.
And by the time he gets to the NFL, there's just a finite number of runs that that guy can have and hits that guy can take before his body's going to break down.
Yeah. So are they underpaid? Absolutely. Do I blame franchises for doing that? No, I really don't.
Okay. Am I wrong to think that? Because I mentioned this to you just in passing yesterday. Linebackers are absolutely being underpaid the same way that running backs are right now.
Oh, 100%.
That literally lead the league in tackles nobody will want to sign them, and they'll have to sign a $2 million deal with the team the next year.
It's incredible. All you give it to pass rushers, edge rushers, lockdown corners, and that's it. I mean, linebackers are the most important position on the defense. You hold everything together. You call the defense. You get them. I'll get off on a tangent here, but you're right. I mean, it's absolutely underpaid. If I gave you the Lakers or the field to win the NBA title, which would you take?
I would take the field. I
gotta hit that timer. Sorry.
No. You're okay. I would hit the Lakers. I would take the Lakers. I think they're gonna win the title. I think they're the best team out there. They've got LeBron James. They've got Anthony Davis. They have a very nice supporting cast around them, and I do think that it's going to be harder for the inexperienced to win a title this year because of the way that we're doing the bubble and the way that this is coming back. It'll be those people that have really paid attention to their health, their fitness, and that pay attention to recovery. Nobody does that more than LeBron.
It is. They're going to be my favorites heading in there, obviously, and everyone else's. But can the Lakers make it out of the West? The Clippers might have something to say about that. Of course, you have the Bucks in the East. And so if you always present a question like this, I'm going to take the field regardless. So I will take the field here, but the Lakers will go in as my favorite. All right, last one today is the excellence of execution. Bret Hart's 63rd birthday. Who was the most fundamentally sound athlete you have ever seen, regardless of sport?
It's Duncan, right? Like, there's a reason they called him the big fundamental, because he was just fundamentally sound in everything that he's done. There are other guys who were fundamentally sound, but they had little quirks to what they did. Duncan never had that quirk. Like, Peyton Manning was fundamentally sound, but he had the way that they, you know, and if you remember, there were NFL scouts that thought the way that he kind of keeps time in his head, was happy feet in the pocket. And man, were they wrong. Kevin McHale was fundamentally sound, but Kevin McHale, you know, there were some things he did with his drop step that were just a little weird looking. There's no hitch in the giddy up for Tim Duncan. That dude is just fundamentally sound as you can possibly make him.
Yeah, I kind of took this question on like who I've seen in person. And so the first thing that came to my mind was Kyrie Irving. I went and saw Kyrie during his freshman year at Duke, the only season he was at Duke before he got hurt. And I mean, just then, he's such a swift ball handler, so quick. His vision was fantastic, a great sharpshooter. He was a kid at that point. But I could see it early on that he was going to be one that's going to go on and have a really, really nice NBA career. I do not like Kyrie. I'm not a Kyrie fan. I'm a Duke fan. I just can't stand Kyrie anymore. But he's probably the best athlete that I've seen with my own two eyes in person.
Okay, two questions. One, who's the best, most fundamentally sound baseball player right now?
Right now? Probably Mike Trout. He called 5-tool player for a reason. I mean, he's got literally everything. Hit for power, hit for contact. He's got a glove. He's got good speed. He plays with smarts. You can put him anywhere in the order. You can hit him leadoff, third, fourth. It's probably got to be my... I mean, I feel like that's a cop-out, but I mean, it's... In baseball, you're called a five-tool player for a reason. He's got all five.
As a hitter, Christian Yelich needs to be in that conversation.
Oh, 100%.
Hits all fields, you know what I mean?
He is such a great contact. I mean, he can certainly hit for power, don't get me wrong, but he's just such great at making contact. And as you pointed out, he can hit literally anywhere. You want him to go oppo, you know, left or right, whatever. You want him to go oppo, go left. You want him to pull one down the right field line, right up the middle. You want him to hit a ground ball to the left side to move the runner over. Whatever it is, he can do it, and he can drive him in. He has the one part of his game that's probably a little bit back compared to the rest would be his defense, but he still plays great defense. So Yelich is a guy that just really never comes up in those, you know, Harper, those Trout talks, which he definitely needs to be up there.
Yeah, so when we look at like basketball, for a long time, like when I was growing up, when you were growing up, so that's a long span, right? That's almost 20 years. A lot of people were, I'm a Tennessee fan, I cheer for Tennessee football, I cheer for Tennessee basketball, but I also have another college basketball team because Tennessee was never in that conversation. Do you think we're going to have a generation of kids growing up right now that aren't going to be also Duke basketball fan?
I think nowadays it's just you follow the player. You see it. I mean, it's kind of the LeBron factor. How many Cavs and Heat fans have you seen around this area?
Yeah, I would say the NBA is that because it is the name on the back, not the name on the front. But for college basketball, I had so many friends that were Tennessee basketball fan, Tennessee football fan, and they were Tennessee basketball fans too. But because Tennessee wasn't very good, they were North Carolina fans, or they were Duke fans, or when I was much younger, they were UNLV fans. I wonder, because Tennessee's just been better over this last decade or so, I wonder if now kids growing up won't be Tennessee plus Duke or Tennessee plus Carolina, Tennessee plus Louisville, Tennessee plus Michigan State. I just wonder, because Tennessee's in that conversation on the top 25 most years, if we won't have that like we did back in the day, because when you're a kid, you wouldn't have a rooting interest in everything. Mm-hmm. So you kind of chose a team that was always in the NCAA tournament, right?
Yeah, of course. And I mean, if you grow up a Tennessee fan nowadays, then you're right. You absolutely shouldn't have another team, because what Rick Barnes has done with that program, where they're consistently at the last couple of years.
Starting with Butch, or Bruce, right? So it's been to Elite Eight, to Sweet 16 with Konzo, to Sweet 16, and almost, frankly, if not for a stupid foul rule, would have been an Elite Eight just a couple of years ago for Rick Barnes.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe so. Yeah, maybe so. I only have maybe three or four people off the top of my head that I can think of that kind of grew up that way, to be honest with you. Was that a lot more prevalent back in
the day? It was very prevalent. But you got to remember, with the DeVoe years, Tennessee was all right. But then, after that, from Wade Houston to Kevin O'Neill.
I just remember going to Tennessee games when I was little with my dad when Buzz Peterson was coaching. I mean, they were for the most part, they were really bad. And so we could just go and move down, and it was so much fun. Of course, I didn't know anything about sports back then. I was just like, cool, what is this?
Yeah, no, we used to get tickets to buy 300-level tickets, and then, you know, somewhere around the first half, they tell you to move down to the lower bowl, and it'd be like, don't mind if I do.
Yep.
There was a game where literally it was Tennessee against Memphis, and I could hear John Calipari. I was on the other side of the floor in the 300th level waiting to move down. I can hear everything John Calipari said on the floor. That's how quiet it was there.
Wow.
I can't even fathom that being the case. In this day and age. We'll come back on the other side. Willa Condon is next. This is Starting Lineup 99.1, The Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
The Tennessee Football Coaches Association met with members of the BOC Wednesday morning and were presented with three options on how to proceed with high school football this fall. The options vary anywhere from a 7-9 game regular season, but all three have a playoff format. Another meeting is expected for July the 8th, where a final decision on high school football and girls soccer will likely be determined. Jeremy Pruitt said there's still no football players who have tested positive for COVID-19 during the voluntary in-person workouts. Appearing on the Dan Patrick Show Wednesday morning, Pruitt said players will have the weekend off for the 4th, and will be tested when they come back on campus from the long weekend. Tennessee Athletics is transitioning to mobile ticketing for all ticket options across ticketed sports in 2020-2021. Mobile ticketing will be available for football, volleyball, basketball, baseball, and softball, and the contactless entry option is considered healthier and could cut down on stolen or counterfeit tickets. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education in Tennessee. And the Will content coming up next on TSL. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
He refers to Dolly Parton as the one that got away.
Tyler Ivins in the starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
This is the starting lineup. Will West, Eric Kane here with you. Final segment of hour number two of the starting lineup. We'll spend the Willow content coming up in just a couple of minutes. Kaner, are you, I don't know if you saw that Tuesday is the day that NBA players will start reporting to their place in their prospective bubble. Did you see now that owners are not going to have to live inside the bubble, but they can still go back and forth to games?
No, I mean, we talked about Commissioner Adam Silver being able to do that, and now owners, I just feel like if you're, now granted, these owners, these the commissioners, they're not on the court of play, I get all that, but you're still allowing entry and re-entry into the bubble.
If you're in the bubble. If you're out of the bubble, you're out of the bubble. Choose, right?
The whole thing about a bubble is you can't come and go.
It's so, no longer a bubble at that point.
Yeah. So it's a little, let's call it something else now.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I don't even understand. It's pretty much if you're not a player and you got a lot of money, you can go in and out of the money, the bubble all you want to.
But hey, these families can't though. So, I mean, yeah, they got to stay.
Yeah. But your family can't. So I don't even understand what they're doing here at the NBA. Like, I understand the need for a bubble. I think you do need one. But then you're going to say, but Mark Cuban can go back and forth. Or Steve Ballmer can go back and forth. Adam Silver can go be in studio for ESPN and then fly back from Bristol, Connecticut to be in Orlando, walk inside the bubble and dap it up with LeBron. That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And I know they're going to be tested on the regular and things like that. But the point of the bubble is the bubble, and if you can't ask the players to be held to one standard and then hold the owners to a completely different standard. So I'm not a fan of this whatsoever, seeing that from the NBA. We will be on tomorrow. We will have a show for you tomorrow. I know a lot of you are going to be off work. We will be working tomorrow. So we will be here for you if you're driving into work for your commute. It is 7:51, time now for the Wheel of Content. Eric Kane, give that bad boy a spin. Tell us what topic we're talking about today.
Okay, so earlier in Five Burning Questions, we asked, would you sign a waiver to go to an NFL game? Here, we're going to ask, would you sign a waiver to attend a college football game this season?
So here's the thing. It should probably be required if you're going to go. I would want them to lay out exactly what they're doing very, very, very specifically when it comes to sanitation procedures, when it comes to social distancing procedures, and things like that. If you're trying to put 102,000 in there, no, thank you. I'm not signing a waiver for you, right? Because I do think that they're, frankly, we know what's going on. This is a state of emergency. There should be liability to it. I don't just mean for athletics departments or the NFL. I mean for businesses. I mean there should be to some extent some liability if they're not being responsible with this. So if I read through what you were doing to try to make sure, and it seemed like you had a pretty good plan in place, I guess I would do that. To me, it would be completely contingent about what the plan is. They're going to be, and I'll say this, Tennessee's been doing so many things right the last couple years that I can't fathom that they won't have a plan in place that they lay out for you with some transparency. But there are going to be colleges that aren't. And so for me, I would look at this and say, let me see your plan for social distancing, for sanitation. I mean, how many times have you walked into a college football game and there's no soap in the sink, right? After people go to the bathroom,
yep.
A lot. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to need to see that you've got a plan in place and all of these things. And then I would be willing to do it after the, like, if you had a plan in place. But I don't think that just the idea of it was thrown out by Ohio State, if we're gonna have X amount of people in the stands, and if you want to come, sign a waiver. Now, people are going to, whether you like it or not, they're going to sign the waiver. I would just need to see that you actually care about this ahead of time. You're not just trying to do a money grab.
Yeah, I think it's two different questions. The one is that we're asking, would you sign a waiver to go, or would you be in favor of people signing waivers to go? The latter for me is absolutely. It's you know, country, you know, here in America, it's, you know, free of choice. You can do whatever you want. And so if you want to you know, sign off on the risk and go in there and watch a football game, but know the repercussions that potentially could happen, potentially, then absolutely go ahead. I mean, that is your right, and go ahead and do it. You know, for me, kind of like you, need to see the plan. I need to see the trends and kind of what's going on. Need to see what's happening here in Knox County. I want to see how Tennessee would go about entry into the stadium, not just social distancing when you get in your seats, but entry. We all got to pee, you know, so, you know, what's kind of the, this might sound kind of weird, but what's kind of the bathroom setup? That's something I've been thinking about too. It's like, okay, if we have fans in the stands, walking up the ramp to get into your gates, you know, getting in your gate, going to your seat, that's kind of where all of the non-social distancing is going to happen. You know, when you get into your seats, that's easy if you, you know, if they mark off your tickets to where you're not around people. So I would kind of have to see the layout of the land, all that stuff. And then, you know, by all means, if I felt comfortable, absolutely, I would sign that waiver and I'll go support whatever football team or baseball team or basketball team, whatever that I wanted to. But just the pure fact of in favor or not in favor of having, you know, fans sign waivers to go and attend college football games, I'm for that 100%.
Yeah. So, you know, I would agree with that. They should. I mean, that's the way you do. Schools need to protect themselves. They should. I would look at it and say that it's I would look at it, though, and say, personally, for me, I want to see your plan in place and see what your plan is that you're going to have in place before I'm willing to sign a waiver. But you're right. Those are two completely different questions. So that's kind of where I come from at it with this. Do you expect that if we're going to be in still, no, let's be real. Brian Rice and I were talking about it just a couple of days ago, but do you expect masks to be a thing still by the time we get to fall? Like, do you think that if you're going to go to Neyland Stadium, you're going to have to wear a mask?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
social distancing. Do you expect that to be still something that's in play by the time we get to September? I mean, let's be real. It's still 2 months away.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I think that's going to be the thing in the fall. I don't think you're going to be able to attend any type of big gathering for the foreseeable future without a mask on. And without social distancing, whether that be a concert, albeit I know there was a concert here in Tennessee, you know, last week, whether that be a concert, whether that be a sporting event, you know, whatever it is, I mean, if you want to go to Neyland Stadium this year, that'll be awesome. You're going to have to wear a mask. So,
yeah, it is going to be something that's on the table. I will say this. I expect with the way Tennessee just seems to do everything right lately, I would expect that Tennessee's going to have a plan and say, and Coach Fulmer's already talked about that, is that, hey, we'll have a plan. We're going to plan for 102,000 because it's easier to adjust the other way than to not have the infrastructure in place and then have to expand out.
And I would listen to that plan because no Tennessee football player still has tested for COVID-19.
Yeah. No one has tested positive for that. So
has that surprised you at all? To me, I mean, I'm going to say yes. Look at Okie State. Look at Clemson. Look at LSU. Look at Alabama. I mean, there's been at least a couple at many that's been at least known to the public. I'm kind of surprised that at least one or two hasn't popped up already. But again, credit, first and foremost, credit to the players, credit to Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt and his staff's plan.
Yes, I'm not surprised, I wouldn't say, but I would have said it's more likely than not that somebody's going to test positive.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But our numbers have been so low in Knox County so far. And so, I mean, even compared, like, for the state of Tennessee, what's been weird, we mentioned this yesterday, for the state of Tennessee, for everywhere else, there's about a 5% mortality rate with this, which is terrible, right, when you look at COVID-19. Here, we're like about a fourth of that. It's like 1% or something like that. So it's wild, the state of Tennessee, how many more people have survived than they have even in the state of Georgia, the state of North Carolina. But especially when you look at Knox County versus Hamilton County, Davidson County, Shelby County, it's wild how blessed we've been about it. I know people have died, so I'm not trying to just say they're a number. But a lot of other places have had it a whole lot worse than we have. And because the numbers have been so low here, I do think that, and let's be real, it's because we all social distance. We did. We absolutely did. And people even now, for the most part, outside of one probably business category, people are still social distancing. So it's that probably plays into why our numbers are so much lower than everybody else's are. But it's, I mean, look, when you go downtown, there's not a ton of people downtown. I think I read earlier this week, three kind of pretty established businesses downtown are having to close just because not a lot of people are going downtown. In places like Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga, that's not happening. And so people are still social distancing. You know, I think for the most part, depending on where you're at, you're going to see some people that have worn masks and people try to stay away from one another. I think it's helped that, and that's why the numbers are low. So I would have said that it's more likely than not someone will test positive, but because of the way that the numbers have gone here, I'm not surprised. And because of how responsible I feel like people at East Tennessee have been, outside of, frankly, when they go to the bar, people have been really, really responsible. So I will say that that's been a pretty good thing. And so I'm not very surprised that Tennessee's the one school where we haven't seen that yet. That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. Starting Lineup continues for hour number three on the other side, 99.1 The Sports Animal.